From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, My Choice is His Choice. The text, Psalm 47 and verse 4, He shall choose our inheritance for us. Our enemies would allot us a very dreary portion, but we are not left in their hands. The Lord will cause us to stand in our lot, and our place is appointed by His infinite wisdom. A wiser mind than our own arranges our destiny. The ordaining of all things is with God, and we are glad to have it so. We choose that God should choose for us. If we might have our own way, we would wish to let all things go in God's way. Being conscious of our own folly, we would not desire to rule our own destinies. We feel safer and more at ease when the Lord steers our vessel than we could possibly be if we could direct it according to our own judgment. Joyfully we leave the painful present and the unknown future with our Father, our Savior, our Comforter. O my soul, this day lay down thy wishes at Jesus' feet. If thou hast of late been somewhat wayward and willful, eager to be and to do after thine own mind, now dismiss thy foolish self, and place the reins in the Lord's hands. Say, He shall choose. If others dispute the sovereignty of the Lord, and glory in the free will of man, do thou answer them, He shall choose for me. It is my freest choice to let Him choose. As a free agent, I elect that He should have absolute sway.
Master, thou callest, I gladly obey. Only direct me, and I'll find thy way. Teach me the mission appointed for me. What is my labor, and where it shall be? Master, thou callest, and this I reply, ready and willing, Lord, here am I.
Willing, my Savior, to take up the
reproaches and loss, willing to follow if thou wilt but lead. Only support me with grace in my need. Master, thou callest, and this I reply, ready and willing, Lord, here.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Revelation of the Wrath of God. In chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul spoke of the gospel of Christ as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In verse 17, he said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It is the righteousness of God which lies at the heart of this book. From verse 18 through the end of chapter 1, Paul turns his attention to the wrath of God against sin and sinners. It is extremely important to understand the basis for God's wrath in order to see the necessity for the gracious means of reconciliation with God as revealed in the rest of Romans. God's wrath is not a cold, dispassionate thing. Sin is contrary to God's holiness, and he is justly filled with revulsion against it. In spite of the unpopularity of the subject, it is a major theme in both the Old and the New Testaments. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude the first of two messages on the revelation of the wrath of God.
God is still at work revealing his wrath, as we see as we proceed down this chapter. Over in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 5, Paul speaks of those who treasure up to themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And in verse 8, he speaks of those who will have indignation and wrath in that day. In Romans 5 and verse 9, he speaks some more of it. He says, being much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In chapter 9, 22 of Romans, he speaks again of God willing to show his wrath. And here's the apostle in the great book of the gospel, and he is emphasizing the wrath of God. When you get to the end of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, one of the great themes of the book of the Revelation. Remember, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the tribulation. It's not the revelation of the millennium. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. All these things get a mention and get a description, but it is preeminently the revelation of Jesus Christ. And one of the great aspects of the revelation of Christ is the revelation of the wrath of God in connection with the coming of Christ. We read in chapter 6:16 of the chief captains, etc. of the earth, the Christ rejecters calling on the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. We read in chapter 14, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep his commandments, the faith of Jesus. We read that the angel thrust in his sickle to the earth. This is what God's people are waiting for. What is it? He gathers the vine of the earth and casts it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. As Paul did writing to the Thessalonians, John is saying here, God's people are under pressure. The world hates you and the church is trampled underfoot, and it will be trampled under more in the days to come than it ever has been before. But to you who are troubled, rest with us. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16 in Revelation speaks again, verse 1, of the way, the voice out of the temple, commanding the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath upon the earth. Chapter 19:15 describes the coming of Christ as the word of God, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Remember what Paul said? We were the children of wrath, even as others. The wrath of God is real. And I want to make it very clear to you tonight. And this is what Paul is making clear. You need to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ, because outside of Christ there is nothing in God but everlasting wrath toward the sinner. This is real. I want you to get this. I don't want anybody to miss this, because we're living on the edge of eternity. Here we stand tonight within a heartbeat of God's eternity. It's not beyond possibility that some of you could be in eternity before the night's over. So could I. The wrath of God against sin is real. It has been revealed. It is being revealed. And it will be revealed, as we'll see, in the coming day of judgment. And you would be absolutely foolish to ignore it. I will be honest with you. I cannot scare you into faith. But I can, by the grace of God, make plain your need. The need of every one of us. Under God's wrath. It's a terrible thing. But listen. If you would be foolish to ignore or explain away the wrath of God, you would be 100 times more foolish to believe it and to ignore the only place of refuge from it. This is our connection. This is why I'm laboring the connection. Paul's whole thesis here, his whole way of dealing with this, as men and women see the reality of wrath. God is not some little pussycat. God is not some white bearded father figure sitting in the heavens benevolently saying, "Oh, poor children, let them do as they will. I would not punish one of those poor little sinners." That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is awesomely, majestically holy. He is just and pure. He has an inward, necessary revulsion against sin. He hates sin with all the energy of his eternal divine being. And because of that, he judges sin. And there is absolutely no escape from the judgment of God on sin. If I could put it as I have done many times in other contexts, Paul's message here is, every sin of every sinner from the beginning of time to the end of time will be paid for, and the wrath of God will wax hot against every sin of every sinner that has ever been committed in the history of this world. Either those sins will feel the wrath of God in Christ, or they feel the wrath of God out of Christ. In Christ, the wrath of God has burned and burned itself out, so that in Him there is a justifying righteousness. Outside of Christ, the wrath of God burns to the lowest hell. And there is no escape. I tell you, you are a fool if you go with the liberal and make a God after your own imagining and deny the God of the Bible and ignore His wrath. But oh, how much more foolish to say, yes, hell is real. The wrath of God is terrible. But I reject the only provision of righteousness and the only place of safety. When people don't think that the fire will reach them. They make crazy decisions. You remember the old man who lived on the slopes of Mount St. Helens? You remember the story? He was told the fire is blowing. He could see there was fire there. Oh, it wasn't going to blow its top. It wouldn't reach him. Everybody else could run away. He didn't need to run away. There's plenty of time. But when that mountain blew its top, if he had been in a corvette, he couldn't have outrun the blast. And he perished. When you read of these raging forest fires in places like Australia, sometimes in the western states of America, once people are convinced the fire is coming here, they run to the place of safety. What I'm here to tell you tonight is there is a place of safety. Not running to some place of man's making, but running to the where the fire has burned itself out. That's the place. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the justified by faith shall live. And it's written that they and they alone shall live, because the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We will return to pursue the subject. But tonight I want you to get this clearly in mind, as I want it in my mind. And never forget it. The wrath of God is real. If you believe that, it must govern what you do with Christ. If you believe that, and you profess to be a Christian, it must govern how you live and how you witness. It is real. May God stamp it on our hearts, driving the lost to Christ and driving the saved to take Christ to the lost. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. And after the feeble, faltering voice of man is silent, O God, by thy Spirit speak on to every heart. Lord, we pray, open men's minds and hearts to receive the warning of Scripture. O God, help us not to be as blind fools who shut the light out and suppress its truth. O God, we pray that thou wilt quicken men and women to flee to Christ. How we thank thee that there is a place of safety, a place of salvation, a place of acceptance with God, a place where we're justified freely, pardoned from our sins, and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We thank thee, our God, that we are justified by faith in Jesus, justified on the merits of his blood. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bring sinners to Christ. Young men, young women, out of Christ, bring them in tonight. Lord, we pray, deal with those who have a little religion, those, O God, who have enough knowledge of the way of salvation to give glib answers, to turn aside any penetrating personal question from parents or teachers or pastors. God, get through to hearts tonight and speak to precious souls. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bring the lost to the Savior, and grant that this Sabbath evening there will be a genuine exercise of the graces of faith and of repentance. Lord, hear our prayer. And let the solemn word of God abide in our hearts as we leave God's house tonight. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge and the head of all wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.